Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break. I'm your host, Kai Rizdahl. It's a Hollywood podcast where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I'm your host, Kai Rizdahl.
Hi there, Freddie. My name is Ira Glass. Stay with us. I'm Will Campos.
Hi, I'm Matthew Arnold, Mr. NPR. I don't listen to NPR, so hi.
Pretty good, Matt. Actually.
Pretty good. Nailed it.
Okay. So, Freddie, what are we doing today?
As we round the corner here into a new year, 2019, a lot of new beginnings, a little behind-the-scenes look here at Story Break. We have a Google Doc with 96 ideas that over the course of this entire year,
Freddie, 2018... Freddie, are you going to keep doing the Kai Rizdahl voice or what?
Over the course of the entire year, 2018, we've been putting these ideas on. Sometimes they come to us in a fit, a flash of inspiration. We throw them up on the list. Now, I want to be clear. These ideas are... Some of them are stinkers. But we got this Google Doc sitting here. Taking a valuable space on our Google Drive. So we figured, as we're coming into 2019, why not
That some of these crusty-ass old ideas have been on here since the very early days of Story Break.
Yes. So this list has been around for a while.
It basically is the where ideas go to die list. Like, most of the time, we have this list of movies, and then without even looking at it, we go, let's do a poopy unicorn movie, and then we just do that instead. So,
and this list has been on our minds. So here's what we're going to do.
Can I just say some key examples? Just to give you an idea of what's on this list, things like just Pirates of the Caribbean, don't know what. I mean, is that a new one? Shrek 5, a lot of video
Calvin
games.
Calvin and Hobbes is
Calvin
on here.
Calvin and Hobbes, Freddy Wong movie. So there's some stinkers. There's some interesting ones. We'll see what happens. But we're going to just do a classic number generator and do 5 of these ideas rapid fire.
That's right. 10 minutes per idea.
It's a new year. It's a new us. We're cleaning out the old baggage.
Yeah.
And New Year's I think New Year's resolution is to do every single one of these ideas.
No, that's the opposite of what we're doing. This is the end of 2018. We're throwing out 2018. We're getting rid. We're doing 5 ideas.
We're throwing out 5 of 97 junker ideas that have been carried. We've been carrying in the trunk of the Story Break car.
Also, if we're a little loopy, it's because we just recorded Poopsie like an hour ago. So that's where we're
up
at.
For the holidays.
We're feeling pretty cocky because we're like, if we could turn shitting unicorns into
a movie. If we can turn shit into gold, then let's turn these 5 shit nuggets into 5 gold nuggets.
All right, guys.
Matt, generate a random number and tell us what we got.
Our first idea.
Number 20.
Number 20, Dolph Lundgren is Peter Pan. Oh, Peter Payne. Dolph Lundgren is Peter Payne. This is a good first one.
All right, 10 minutes. Let's take 30 seconds to explain where this came from, which is I just think at one point I said Peter Payne as like an ass-kicking version of Peter Pan, and then we were like, Dolph Lundgren is Peter Payne.
Okay.
So here we go.
So let's ignore Dolph Lundgren for a second, because I feel like he's just the topping you put at the... Once you figure out Peter Payne, it's like
he's
Dolph Lundgren plays him.
Icing on that
or
cake,
is
baby.
It, or is it, hear me out,
okay,
like a Jean-Claude Van Johnson type thing, where it is about Dolph Lundgren. And Dolph Lundgren, it's like Hook with Dolph Lundgren.
You're saying Peter Payne?
I literally just broke it. It's Hook with Dolph Lundgren.
Okay, yeah. So
Dolph Lundgren goes to Never Never Land and has to fucking beat ass to get back or something like that.
Okay, so but
is it what are the Lost Boys then? Are they boys who didn't get the proper games? They didn't get the right games
what
on,
is
their,
the idea,
on their muscles?
What is the idea of Peter Payne? If Peter Pan never wanted to grow up, Peter Payne
never wanted to stop hurting people.
Never wanted to stop kicking ass.
So this is like a hellscape Neverland where it's just constant fighting.
If you remember the end
like
of
Bloodsport.
The one, that's the end of the one.
I've never seen Bloodsport. Is Bloodsport just a bunch of people fighting all the time?
Jean-Claude Van Damme is in Bloodsport.
Yeah, I know, but like I always
imagine it's a martial arts tournament. I've never seen Bloodsport.
Okay.
The tournament.
But this feels like a world of just constant fighting.
Like the end of the one, right? When you remember when Jet Li says, I am nobody's bitch. You are all my bitch. That's like my favorite.
Look,
one of my favorite scenes in any
movie. I'm just going to do Mad Libs and just replace the word growing up with pain, essentially.
Okay, go.
If Peter Pan is about a bunch of kids who are forced to grow up and don't want to, they're sent to Never Neverland by a kid who didn't have to grow up into a world of children, and then they're forced to grow up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Peter Payne would be
one way of interpreting
it. Yeah, I was like, that's an interesting.
Peter Payne would be like a boxer who keeps fighting and wants to keep causing pain, and everybody's like, yo, you gotta stop fighting, you're too old. He's like, nah, pain is what I love. And then he's goes to a world of constant fighting and pain. Is like, this is rad. Look, if Peter Payne can keep doing it, I can keep doing it. But then realizes that pacifism.
Dolph Lundgren, because I also like it is. It's not Peter Pan. It's Dolph Lundgren is Peter Pan. So if we're gonna go with that, I would say your act one is it's a little phantom toll boothy. It's a little poopsie unit. It's a Dolph Lundgren in poopsie unicorn. Is you would do. He's in the mid. He's getting too old.
Yeah.
To be an action star, right? Yes. Like, yeah. And he's still. He won't let go. He won't grow up and accept. You know that he's. You know, I don't want to be ageist or anything like that. Yeah. But like, you know, he's pushing.
He's
got to
take them
years.
Silver fox.
He's looking at those new Clint Eastwood movies and it's like maybe he should stop doing the mule or whatever.
So Dolph Lundgren is in the middle of doing one of his dangerous stunts in one of his movies and he gets bonked on the head and he wakes up in Never Never Stop Kicking Ass Land.
But okay, bear with me. I don't mean to interrupt right away. We only got 10 minutes. I feel like you're definitely missing a really good opportunity for a buff boy to open up the window just like Peter Pan, but instead of Peter Pan, it's just like a buff action hero guy who like opens up the window and is like, hey, Dolph, come with me.
So now, but okay, I'm willing to play with that. How long? We're 3 minutes in.
Three minutes. Okay. All right.
Hold on. What is Dolph Lundgren? Because that's Peter Pan, is who you're describing.
Yeah.
So is Dolph Lundgren Peter Pan or not?
Or one of the Lost Boys.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Maybe Dolph Lundgren shows up in the window. Maybe it's a kid. Oh. Maybe it's a kid who's getting picked on at school.
Yes.
Oh. And then Dolph Lundgren's like, "Come with me to ass kicking."
Yes.
All right. There's the movie. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's like all you have to do is beat ass, and when you come back to school, you can beat ass, and it'll be great. And then
so the answer. So the movie is advocating that violence sometimes is the answer.
No, because the point of Peter, the message of Peter Pan is not it's okay not to grow up. The message of Peter Pan is you have to grow up. And Peter sometimes Pan, you, Peter and, Pan's and, wrong in the story. Like Peter Pan has to learn a lesson.
And sometimes in this world, you have to kick some ass. No, that's not it.
So why does it's been a long time since I've seen Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And what happens? He just happens to show up, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets his shadow is mad at him or whatever, or gets stuck to the wall. And then he's like, hey, just peace out with me. And then they have their own thing.
You know what's
like
tough about
when
Peter-
he's supposed to move out of the kids' room, right?
You know what's tough about Peter Pan is Disney's really fucked up Peter Pan so hard because Peter Pan, for me right now, I'm trying to think about what Peter Pan is. It is a combination of Finding Neverland, which is about the writer, Peter Pan the animated series, and Hook, which are all completely different but also play in the same thing that they just merge as this weird
amalgamation.
I don't know what the lesson or even idea of Peter Pan is anymore.
Okay, well, I'm glad we landed on this one. So you've got Peter Pan, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think, yes, Peter Pan is the ass-kicking Peter Pan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's played by Dolph Lundgren.
Yes, Dolph Lundgren shows up in your window.
Again, now I'm still kind of tripping on, we don't have time to, we got to pick a direction. Is it about Dolph Lundgren, or is Dolph Lundgren just the actor?
Dolph Lundgren is the actor who is Peter Pan.
The Peter Pan.
Okay,
you're pumped that he's Peter Pan.
So that's just, the movie is advertised as Dolph Lundgren is Peter Pan, but the name of the movie is Peter Pan.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so Peter Pan is the, so this kid is, again, like maybe they're fighting too much at school. Maybe it's a bully.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the bully.
The bully gets sent to bed with no dinner because he got in a fight at school, right?
Because
he's picking on some nerd at school, right?
Yes.
And then he's pissed. He's playing Mortal Kombat in his room. And then Peter Pan, a grown man,
a strong grown man,
a muscular man, barges into his room,
beating the shit out of his shadow. If Peter Pan's chasing his shadow, Dolph is like shadow boxing, just punching the shit out of his shadow.
My God. That's
and then they cause a ruckus
That's
in the
poster.
Room.
Yeah.
And the kid wakes up. He's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Sorry, I'm just in the middle of beating the shit out of my shadow."
Shadow boxing.
Yeah. Yes.
He's trying to kick his shadow's ass.
Yeah.
His shadow bet him that he couldn't kick his ass, right?
And then he's
and then
like,
they break up. They bust up the room, and the bully's like, "I'm going to get in so much trouble. I got to get out of here."
Yes.
Right? He's like,
"I got just the spot.
Why don't you come to me with me to Never Never Stop?
If you close your eyes, if you close
never,
your
never
eyes,
Never Back Down Land.
Never Never Back Down Land. All you got to do is close your eyes and think about the face you most want to punch.
Yeah.
And then you can punch your way into Never Back Down Land.
Okay, so question in this universe then. Sorry, just keep in mind. Goalposts. Tinkerbell and Hook. Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Who are those?
Tinkerbell and Hook are just a bunch of pacifist losers who are trying to get people to stop fighting and having fun. It's like the opposite of
Hook Peter. Is a therapist.
Yes, Hook is a therapist that's trying to get all these bullies and boys to stop fighting all the time because all they do is throw martial arts competitions and he's trying to stop it.
You need to stop building these octagons in the lagoon and fighting in them.
Well, you know, because Dr. Hook is like trying to be a doctor to everybody.
Yes.
Right? But all these boys keep coming to him with all these boys and girls. Let's not be normative. All of these kids and the Lost Boys essentially come to him with broken bones and black eyes and stuff like that. And he doesn't have time to take care of anybody else.
And then it's the classic in this, it's Wendy, you know, she begins to realize Peter Pan's a tragic figure. Mm-hmm. So in this, it'd be like, I think we kind of even played with like another version of Captain Kronos back in the day. Mm-hmm. But it'd be like, she realizes, it'd be like Dolph Lundgren is old and his fists are beat up and he's aching all day. And it's like, this is what of life, constant fighting does to you.
She finds out that he is Dolph Lundgren and he ran away.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah. She finds out about his backstory.
Rather than giving up on doing action movies or growing up and stop fighting all the time, he went to Never Never Back Down Land so you could fight forever. And then she sees what it says, like, I've been fighting here for 100 years and my bones ache. And
she's like, you were a scientist once.
He was. That's right. Yeah. He found the portal to Never Never Back Down Land because he's like an MIT super genius, right?
Is the one that created it.
Yeah, he created the portal, yes. Right?
And when you fill your life full of fighting, there's no room for love.
Exactly. She is Wendy. She was in an underground fight club at her school, in Never Back Down. And she was like the king of the ring or whatever.
And the octagon.
The octagon. Yes. And then she got busted by her parents. She's like, this bullshit. I'm just so pissed off. I want to fight all the time. And then Dolph Lundgren barged into her room fighting his shadow. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah, she comes back, she would be like the bully that she was most going to fight with. She realizes they used to be friends. And then instead of fighting, she reaches out a hand to do a handshake, and she's like, we don't need
when the bully goes for the handshake, she executes a complicated judo maneuver and gets him in a fucking armbar.
It's
about submission.
It starts like that and it turns into this complicated judo move that turns into a hug.
Yes.
Because exactly. Really, you know what the ultimate submission move is? Love.
Yes. All right.
I feel like, okay, so
how much time do we have?
We have like
a minute and 20 seconds.
We got a minute and 20. I think we need to pad out Dr. Hook a little bit. and Tinkerbell. So okay.
Tinkerbell's the bell in the boxing ring.
She holds up the little sign. She's the bell?
When she dings,
this is my Tinkerbell.
She's the cut man. Was it the cut man that like cuts you like to like?
I like that she's literally a floating bell that signals the beginning and end of a fight.
When Tinkerbell goes, you got to fucking fight in this land.
Okay,
you go until Tinkerbell speaks.
So then Dr. Hook is the cut man who's trying to get out of this, right?
Yes, he's constantly repairing everybody and trying to convince them to stop fighting. That Captain Hook sucks.
Okay, but then she realizes that he's right,
yes.
Essentially, right? And like, does she have like, because Wendy's got the other two kids, does she go with her little sister or little brother? Do you know what I mean? Like, is there
there'd be a bunch of other little kids that she's got to take care of.
I think it's like her little brother that,
because at first she fights to defend them. Like, it's like she's fighting for most of the movie, but the reasons
are... This is a kung fu movie.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Bones are breaking.
To defend her brothers, then it's to join the competition, and then it's for her own glory, and then it's for ultimately to save Dr. Hook, who Peter Pan took because he's tired of Dr. Hook constantly repairing his victims. He's like, what's the point of Peter Pan if people get repaired? I want to beat people until they're dead. And Peter Pan's always stopping it or something like that.
Last question,
I feel
Wendy,
like it ends up with her saving Dr. Hook from Peter Pan.
Last question, Wendy, clearly a
he's got to go back to being Dolph Lundgren, right?
Does he grow up as well?
Everyone grows up and everyone's happy, and again, it's mended in the end. Love wins after all. Love beats punches, and that's 10 minutes on idea number one, Dolph Lundgren as Peter Pan. Matt. Generate another number for me.
Oh,
tell
God.
Me what we
number
got.
Number five, Space Force.
No!
Okay, can we just ignore that one?
No, it's on it.
So just to clarify, this is indeed Donald Trump's Space Force. Did you put this on here? How is this number five?
It was off to the side, so I moved it over.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay,
it's a military, I feel like I'm doing an SNL sketch, like,
No politics. Puts this aside. Fucking U.S. military came to us. They say, hey, you three are the new Michael Bays. We're giving you $100 million. We're going to pay for half this $200 million movie to make
Darn
a fucking dope-ass movie about our new military force, Space
Force.
You
know, I will say that a lot of policy wonks are like, actually, a Space Force isn't a bad idea.
Yeah, because it's an Air Force.
Because the Air Force covers a lot of rando shit
right
now.
We are
going
to deal with space. So it's not Space Force's fault that the word space is silly.
All right. Ew.
And force.
All right.
So it's the first year of Space Force.
Why did they start Space Force?
Yes,
is it because there's an alien invasion?
Shit. There's something that they don't.
We don't know about.
It's just Armageddon. It's just like there's an asteroid coming.
No, because that would be just NASA shooting a rocket. This is like we need a space.
We need
Force
America.
To fight.
We need guns. NASA doesn't have guns. This is the problem. They looked at NASA and they're like, what do they have? They got rockets. They got robots. Will they not have guns? The AR-15. What do we do?
Space Force feels like it's like a Metal Gear type movie.
Yeah, okay. Space Force feels like an 80s throwback jokey. I mean, that's kind of what everyone was making fun of it for.
Do you do like it's a washed up fighter pilot who drinks and then they're like, we need you to space.
Space
what
Force?
What if instead of drinking, you spaced? And he's like, I don't need anybody in my life.
Look, fucking
space is so cold and empty, like my heart.
Fighter pilots going to space is dope. It would be something like, okay, it's the first year of Space Force. They don't even quite know what Space Force is gonna be. You might even do like they all think it's stupid that they're starting Space Force. Whatever, we gotta do Space Force. So the first thing is Space Force. The first four people in Space Force go up to the International Space Station to check out space for the first time, right? And they're like, and the scientists are
just
like,
just a little research.
Yeah,
you know?
The scientists are like, goddamn, fucking like
these fucking jocks,
these fucking jocks,
in
and
here.
they're like these fucking bureaucrats stuck on this fucking floating space station. All I want to do is fuck shit up. But they're gonna come together because the International Space Station is gonna be the first active engagement of Space Force when some force comes to attack the International Space Station.
Okay,
and America has to work together with the international community, Space Force, and scientists together to fight this first alien invasion.
You have the perfect...
Did you listen to anything I said?
Yeah,
Fred
yeah. But you have the perfect sitcom setup. Your idea is stupid. This is a perfect sitcom setup.
So no. Okay,
NASA's up there. We're at the International Space Station, okay? And then they're like, shit, we got Space Force. We gotta bring these four fucking jocks in. And it's like, they have to be there for a year, and then it's a sitcom about how the nerdy Poindexters of NASA have to share the literal exact same space as a bunch of fucking jocks.
I have an actual cool movie, and it's along the lines of what Matt said.
Okay.
But you do it Space Force, right?
Yeah.
And they're training, and they are like, no one takes them seriously, right?
Yeah.
Because they're like, what the fuck do we need Space Force for?
Bullshit.
You do their first mission is to terrorists, it's Die Hard at the International Space Station.
Yes.
And then you do it as a rescue mission. They have to get up to the International Space Station and fucking infiltrate and fucking do the most dangerous rescue mission of all time.
They're all making fun of like, why do we have Space Force? There's not aliens in our space. Space is stupid. And then it's like, yes, some terrorists take over the International Space Station and they're going to rain down nukes all over the world from the International Space Station.
That, what?
Yeah.
How does the International Space Station have... Okay, the terrorists bring nukes up with them.
Yes.
Bring a nuke up to space to drop it.
Yeah, you can't get a nuke. You can't smuggle a nuke to the U.S. with the new, that's hard to get through security at the TSA.
You know what it is?
So,
their
point
is... It's this.
Because Elon Musk doesn't give a shit what you bring up on a space station if you pay him $500,000 to go on a space station.
Or you just do it secretly. The Russians have been putting that stuff up there secretly in their payloads, and it's been a side mission. They found out about it, so that they've infiltrated as that, and it's like, that's a part of the module of the International Space Station.
I definitely like the idea. Okay,
that they
just
paid
it's just
Elon
Die
Musk.
Hard. An old cop is now on Space Force, and his wife's up on the International
Space Station. Trying to save his marriage to a scientist's wife.
His wife's up on the International Space Station because he's like, babe, I want kids. He's like, I don't want kids. I'm a scientist. I'm gonna go to space. And he's like, oh, and then their marriage fell apart, and he didn't fucking respect her. And then she's on the International Space Station, and he's on Space Force. And sure enough, yeah, Elon Musk's like group of like rich assholes went up there, and one of them is a fucking terrorist who has his master plan, and now all of a sudden the International Space Station is overtaken by, some fucking, terrorist, and then this cop's gotta go to the International Space Station to...
And it's just like,
he isn't gonna go. He finds out. He says no. He's like, I'm not gonna go to space. I'm a man who keeps his feet on the ground. I'm just a blue-collar worker who likes my Joe... Like, I'm a regular Joe who likes my Joe regular, as Frasier would say. Wait, bear with me. And he turns down the job, but then he finds out his wife's on the space station, so he took it, so he can go...
What are you talking about? Is he in Space Force or not?
He's in Space Force.
But how is he the Space Force guy that doesn't go into space? What are you talking
about?
But
he does end up going to
space. What are you talking about?
No, but then he does go into space.
No, but you don't have a choice. You don't get to be like, I'm the Space Force guy, but I don't want to go into space. Like, why is he in
Space
Force?
Okay, fine. He goes to space and his wife ends up being up there.
Oh, you didn't. They
Look,
didn't tell
terrorists
me
on the International
the
Space Station is good.
Okay, all right. Can we just zero in on that?
The mission briefing didn't say that you are going to be here.
Yeah.
So they are, let's say, Basque separatists from Spain.
Sure.
And they want to...
Are you on the random terrorist generator website there?
No, we've thrown the word terrorist around a lot.
Make them like...
Rich assholes. Make them like Amazon...
People who want to like start the world over. They think the world's useless. They're going to wipe out the world. Right. It's like a cultish...
It's like a Mission Impossible, politically safe, general sort of... Yeah.
If this was Rainbow Six, it would be crazy environmentalists, which was a cool thing that people stopped doing. But I've always thought
Al Gore and his renegade team of crazy environmentalists.
Yeah, they're like, if we get rid of humans, it's great. Then it's all plants again. So
so maybe then you would do, so it's the International Space Station.
Yeah.
And there is like some sort of like whatever powers it, some sort of nuclear fusion drive, right? If they sabotage it in Earth's orbit, it will be this it'll cool the planet down by causing nuclear winter. Yes. Yeah, shitloads of people will die, but you know, they'll save the planet, right?
You would do the scientists are working on something up there.
Yes.
And then, the terrorists, what they've discovered is if they blow up the International Space Station with this chemical that they're working on, it's going to cause this thing that destroys human life, but protects
the Snowpiercer chemical.
Or something like that. Okay, cool. So, all right, so that's what's going on. Yes. And then you've got your ground team.
Yes.
That's Space Force.
Yes.
And, all right, so it's a cop is a strange. Let's not make it. I just don't want to do the damsel in distress thing.
I was just making it Die Hard. I mean, she's not in. I mean, I guess she's in distress. But,
yeah. Who's your main character? Okay, so, and what's the deal? So Space Force is just getting started, right?
Just getting started. Yeah.
And we'll do it. This is set 4 years after the Trump administration goes down in flames, right? Yeah. So then you would do everyone like.
So 2036.
So everyone wakes up from this hangover. They're like, what the fuck? There's a Space Force? What were we thinking? So like Space Force is in danger of getting the axe because everyone's like, it's like, we have too many problems on Earth to deal with a Space Force right now. Like we don't need a Space Force. So they're in danger of getting scrubbed, right?
They're going to cut our funding.
They haven't even done a successful mission yet. Like, so because they're like, what do we need to go to space for, right? And then this happens, and then like the leader of Space Force is like, god damn it, put my guys and gals
The main character is like Tommy McHuge Rock or something, and he always wanted to run his own force. He's like, man, I could never run my own. There's always Air Force was already taken. I always wanted to run my own force. And the Space Force show, he's like, perfect, my chance to run my own force. And then like, yeah, we're getting rid of Space Force. There's no reason for it. He's like, damn, I've always wanted to run my own force, and now they're going to get rid of
it. What is the theme of this movie? So this is... No man is a space station.
No man's a space station.
Well, how much time do we have left, Freddie?
We're getting close on this one, boyos. We're looking at 3 minutes left on
this
one.
Minutes. We got a zero in here. Zero in. Okay, so who do they put together for the mission? It's
a ragtag team of hardcore people that need to pose as scientists going up.
That's why I kind of like the scientists in the Space Force. The scientists in the International Space Station represents like the world coming together. It's like everybody on there is from a different nationality, and then these jock guys come in and they think they know how to solve things.
Or it's just one guy. It's just one guy. They can get one man-sized payload.
Oh, the Space Force is heading up there, and their fucking ship gets taken out, and he's the only one that survives like the wreckage and barely, like, you know, like
Gravity style.
Yeah, like all those movies where people can just hold their breath and they fly through space and then end up in the space station. Like the terrorist attack starts with Space Force approaching it, and then the fucking Space Force, he's the last survivor of Space Force.
He's got to work with the Space Force mission.
Yes, and then that's the fun, is like this big macho, you know, military guy's got to work with all the
bunch
scientists,
of Poindexters
to fight the terrorists on the International Space Station.
Okay, I like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
I like that quite a bit. And then you would do that he was considered not good. He failed. He washed out of NASA.
Yes.
Right? For being too much of a rogue.
Too much of a hothead.
For being an idiot.
For being too,
he wasn't smart enough.
You know, like, someone who washed out of NASA, then joined Space Force, and it's like all their old colleagues are up on the space station,
this idiot.
Right? And he's like, I'm going up and I got complicated feelings about this. I don't even know if I'm good enough for this, right? It's like, self-doubt or whatever. And then, he gets attacked or she gets attacked, and then she's the only survivor, and, winds up on the shit. Yeah, and then they think everyone died, but because they've got the gut instinct to know how to survive in space, they manage to infiltrate, right? And then, it's Die Hard in space. It ends with them being like, get out of my space. And
it's Die Hard in space or Air Force One, but
this?
We don't really have a family.
You know what's great about this?
They have a brother or sister who was in the same training program at NASA.
Oh, and made it.
Who made it. That's what I would do.
He was, it's the classic, huh, you're the dork. It's like, huh, you're the dumb jock. And then the two of them are going to come together.
Yes,
and then
I love that.
What's great about this is you can do the scene where like Hans Gruber falls from like Nakatomi Plaza, except he kicks him out of a fucking airlock into the atmosphere, and it cuts down to like some kid looking at a shooting star.
Cut to the same scene
and he goes,
shoots.
Oh, I hope that wasn't a hostage.
It's the same scene. He shoots him in the head, and then he opens up the airlock, and then they all just die.
Dude, this would be so good because then you've also got like your owl, and you're on the ground that was like a washed up astronaut or whatever.
It's like it's Buzz Aldrin.
It's Buzz.
Alice Buzz Aldrin.
He's like, I shot a kid through an airlock.
because they are radioing in secret because they don't want any, and it's so some ham radio kook. You know what I mean? It's like someone who's like, or it's like a kid. It's a 12-year-old kid who's really into ham radio that hears the main guy, and then he's talking to the kid, being like, you got to tell NASA that I'm on the fucking ground over here.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fun thing. Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right. That is Space Force.
Space Force.
Actually, not bad. Roll right. them bones, Matt. What we
I
got?
Did. 45. Call of Duty.
Oh, no!
What is a terrible list?
Oh, God. Call of Duty.
This is the worst.
So
why was this on the list
Soap
ever?
Soap McTavish and Captain What's
Okay, well,
wait.
Let's embrace this. There's a lot of Call of Duty now. This pulling this up today is a lot different than pulling this up 6 years ago, because since then, there's been
Call of Duty's gone to space.
And there's been, you played Infinite or Super Future World or whatever it was called.
You had the one where you were the guy from Game of Thrones and you were in the future. Like, it was insane.
Remember Kevin Spacey was in one, and now they don't talk about
Dude,
that.
Dude, if I'm going to put my producer hat on, if I had to do one of these, I'd fucking do that fucking Call of Duty for Modern Warfare. Like, that's what I
base mine
on.
I mean, that's
the
classic.
On.
I mean, that's well,
the
then that's like, what?
That's what
like,
people
You just
want.
Do the movie? You just
it's
do
just
it?
The, it's the
and
movie
they already
of
have
that.
A story.
Next.
Yeah, we got to do. I mean, yes.
We've never done a war movie, though, I don't think.
Okay, so one thing about Call of Duty that I always thought was interesting was every single time you die, they pull up some old war quote, right?
Like, this has been Call of Duty. It was called Call of Duty Space Force. Sorry, Franco. What is it? What are you going to say?
Well, no, I'm just saying that like one of the things that in all the Call of Duty games that has stayed the same as much as changed around it is that every time you die, you get this quote.
About
like
how
this
crazy
war, quote,
war
about
is.
How crazy war is, right? So it's right in the first ones, it seemed to be this comment on like the act of death and this, and then now it seems kind of weird when it's like your guy like didn't activate his jumpsuit in time for the gravity well, and it's just like, I guess this Winston Churchill quote applies to this situation. but regardless, you know what I mean? Like, regardless.
They also, most of them also do multiple characters.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so like a thinking, sprawling epic.
It's like instead of Paris, Jitame, it's like
Jitame.
War Jitame.
War Jitame.
War Jitame like sucks.
Yeah, basically, War Jitame sucks.
I think you suck.
So it's Love Actually with jingoistic military porn.
So it's just 10 generations of the same family going through every war.
That sounds like a fucking super bummer.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bummer of a movie.
Okay. Let's come up with the bad guy. If we can come up with a good, juicy,
bad
guy, then we can just say big boys fight bad guy. Let's come up with a good bad guy. What's a good bad guy for?
Here's the problem. They've done all of them.
Ex-Special Forces guys tend to be like
that's
a thing.
That was Call of Duty. That was like all of Modern Warfare.
What was Ghosts about?
What about the President
ghosts.
Of the United...
They're ghosts.
Actual ghosts.
Ghosts.
Did you play
ghosts.
Call of Duty Ghosts?
No, I don't think it was actual ghosts.
What can we say it was actual ghosts?
Yeah, that's the one direction. You know what? To be fair, that's the one direction Call of Duty hasn't gone. They've gone to all the historical wars. They've gone through all the futuristic crazy wars. Oh. What they haven't gone is just like, what if you had to shoot ghosts?
All right, a group of Call of Duty soldiers is set on a mission. And when they get there, they realize it's the ghosts of all the people who have died in Call of Duty who are trying to.
Do
like,
they realize
to,
they're in a video game or something?
They have to. Oh.
Because you could do it's the Call of Duty video game. Like, okay. What if it was the plot?
Ender's Game.
What if it was this globe trotting story with multiple characters, but it was all these characters playing the new Call of Duty game?
So how about this
video
game high school?
Map, and it's like Kiev, and it's just a teenager in Kiev playing Call of Duty, and then you go to it's just a whole bunch of people. Yeah, what if it's just a whole bunch of people around the world? Okay, all right, bear with me for a second, because I feel like I could be onto something here. You do, like, because again, it's like the game. Here's the irony of Call of Duty. Call of Duty is about, like, war is this thing that rips people apart.
Yes.
Call of Duty is this thing that brings people together.
God damn it, Will,
you know
you're
mean?
On a roll. You
like,
keep
you
fucking
I mean?
Going,
like,
man.
Gamers from every, and you know what, it's so beautiful, because it's like, we don't know who we're playing with. Like, I mean, I don't play with the voice chat on. So
I have a rosy view of this.
But, like, the idea that, like, you know, it's like, we all hate each other, right? Like, the world's not getting along at all, but, like, we get together and we play this game, and, like, it's people from all over the world.
And we talk about each other's moms.
It's a very problematic movie. I can already tell, but this is what I would suggest is from all over the world, all these different Call of Duty players are invited to a tournament, and when they get there, terrorists attack the tournament, and these Call of Duty players have to bond together. The people that were literally going to fight each other, they all hate each other. They meet each other the day beforehand in the hotel, and they're like, oh yeah, I hear you're pretty good, you're nowhere near as good as me, and they all fucking hate each other.
What's
see
your
you
sensitivity
tomorrow,
at
in this death
what
match
do you
tomorrow.
Say your sensitivity
yeah,
at?
What's your,
in, 10 loser I set mine to 11
see you in the
idiot.
Death match tomorrow you're gonna die in the death match from me. I'm the good Call of Duty player.
I'm gonna take the terrorist strike,
and then this Call of Duty team's got to come together and use real guns to fight real terrorists.
Oh, okay. So here's what you do.
That's indulgent. Oh my God. Call of Duty.
Here's what you do. Okay. If we're gonna go with that, because why not? You would do that. It's an insane. Like, it's the guy, it's like a PR guy. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? He's like, I'm going to have the greatest esports tournament of all time where the guns are real. And then, yes, you would do, it's a Call of Duty tournament. And then he hires a paramilitary organization to attack.
Right? Well, it's like Blackout and PUBG now. Essentially, as long as he sets up a big tournament for 100 best Call of Duty players and brings them. And surprise, you're going to get hunted for real. And then this band, the people who dislike each other most, band together and be like, we're not fighting each other. We're going to fucking take it back to the man. We're going to fucking burn this place down.
Because that's the real Call of Duty.
That's the real Call of Duty. It's to destroy this crazy PR person.
It's like the most dangerous game a little bit.
Oh,
like,
it's this guy... It's we need to come up with a name. It's this person who's been there since the very first Call of Duty. And he's like, I can't make... They're like, you need another one. He's like, I've already made 18 games. Like, this one better be better than the last one. He's like, I've done Blobs 5. I've done Ghosts. We did Ghosts. We did a real Call of Duty.
We did real Call of Duty.
How can I possibly do another Call of Duty that's any different? They're like, well, think of something or you're fired. Mm-hmm. And then he's like...
And your family dies.
Yes. Whoa. And then he's like, I guess the only way to... He's like, the only way to make a Call of Duty better than Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which is the best Call of Duty ever, is to make it real. So that he's gone mad, and he brings all these Call of Duty players who he's grown to hate to fucking make them
you
fight
what I
in
love?
Real
I love the
combat.
Idea that this is...
His name is Ianfinity Ward. Ian Ward. Ian F. Ward. Ianfinity Ward.
You know what I like about that? I like the idea of him being the shadow operative. And it's not quite this, but like he's a shadow operative, like manipulating the Kremlin, manipulating the KGB, manipulating the CIA. And all of a sudden, it's just like, there's a proxy war happening in Syria. And he stands above the wreckage, and he's like, how do you like my new game?
Well, then you do the
Call
master,
of Duty.
You do the match where they got him. He's like, you're going to kill me? All I've ever done is try to satisfy you, fans. Don't you understand? He has this big rant. And they're like, man, we didn't need a new Call of Duty. We just didn't want to pay for DLC anymore. We just want you to get back in touch with your game. And he's like, oh, thanks. I've learned
how
my lesson.
Do we get...
And then they're like, but you did kill a bunch of us. So we're
how
still going to execute.
How do we get their moms into this? Because everyone, and insulting someone's mom is a huge part of Call of Duty.
Okay.
So I need some moms in this movie.
How much time do we have left?
We have enough time to get some moms in here.
Okay, what if it's widows but that? And it's all of these moms whose kids all got killed playing Call of Duty. And then they've got to go into Call of Duty to figure it out.
Oh, so this is Call of Duty 2036, where Call of Duty is just real now. And the moms are fighting back against the game industry.
Okay, yeah. Here's the other thing I was going to say. It's just, you could also...
I don't know, we need to make this about moms. I mean, we already turned this. Like, I feel like this is a bunch of Call of Duty people fighting for
okay. Okay, what if you do, because here's what's interesting to me, is you do, like, who plays Call of Duty the most? Like, guys that, because it's so realistic and it's
so
cool.
Yeah, I love it.
He realized all of these people in the DOD and in, like, the fucking, in the Kremlin and the Spetsnaz or whoever, right? They all play this game. And he's like, this is the perfect backdoor into their systems and into their shit. So that's how he becomes this information power broker, Ianfinity Ward, who's running this whole thing.
Yes.
And then you would do that, like, I don't know how this gets to Call of Duty players having to take out the guy who made Call of Duty, but I don't think we broke this one, guy.
No, it's the
3 minutes.
It was a tournament.
It's another Die Hard movie.
Yes, I mean, unfortunately, it's a new Call of Duty. They're launching the new Call of Duty. Nobody knows the name. It's going to be the title reveal. They fucking get the 100 best Call of Duty streamers there. They fucking like, are you guys... Are you all streaming? Are you all on YouTube? Good. Here's the title reveal. Call of Duty. Real. And they go, what? And then all these guys come out with real guns and start shooting all the streamers. And they all start panicking. They run across this island. And they're like, oh, shit. This Call of Duty is real. This guy's gone mad. And then these Call of Duty players.
Okay, so we follow two arch rivals.
Yes.
One of whom is a 40-year-old housewife from New Jersey.
Yes.
And,
the other one's a 12-year-old kid who says fuck all the time.
This is a battle royale again. Maybe not those two characters. But yes, we follow two esports people who have an online rival.
Yes.
Right? And then they meet each other in real life, and they're ready to fucking take each other down. And yes, you do, like, you've got, like, a...
And in this life and death situation, they realize there's more to life than just video games, and all their struggles and anger they had online, if they just met each other in real life, they'd probably fucking overcome it, especially in this very dangerous situation.
And again, they realize that the evil Charles Infinity Ward man is going to take over the world once he does this, right? Like, this somehow is going to help him take over the world. So it's like Red Dawn, but meets Call of Duty in real life.
Yes.
All right, sure.
Okay, next one.
Call of Duty. That's roll them bones, Matt. What we got?
Okay, here we go. 24, for sale baby shoes never worn.
Yes! All right, I'm very excited. This is one I've been trying to convince the guys to do.
Okay.
So, for sale baby shoes never worn.
Yes.
The movie.
Yes.
So, sounds like a bummer.
For those of you who don't know, that's just
a sad story. That,
yeah, it's seen as like the shortest sad story of all time.
Or sale baby shoes never worn because it's like they were.
Because it's like they, it's like they the baby shoes didn't fit and the baby didn't even have to wear them.
It's the they.
And
were
now the baby doesn't have shoes.
They were expecting a baby and then they had a miscarriage or something. So
yeah,
they
bought shoes and they got excited and
that's
now they gotta
what
sell
it is?
Them.
Yes, Freddie.
That's the idea. But yes, it could be interpreted in a different
way.
I'll
do it in
sure.
Three. A baby died.
That's not
sad. People made a good I saw a good tweet on this, which was just change the punctuation. It's a different story.
Oh.
For sale, baby. Shoes never worn.
For sale, baby. Shoes never worn.
I had a thought on this one, which was like the kid. I can't remember. My dad and I broke this over Christmas 2 years ago, okay, and I can't remember what it was. It was something to be like he finds an ad that's like he's trying to find his real parents. Like it would just be like a different take on the story. All right. For sale, baby shoes never worn.
I mean, this shouldn't be a movie just for the sake that we want people to watch this movie. Probably shouldn't be a movie where it starts with a baby who's died and these families trying to sell the shoes, right?
What if that's the movie? What if you just broke it? And they're trying to find a new baby for the shoes. And it's like, whose family are we going to give the shoes to? And they meet all these other families.
What if they're
like,
cursed shoes?
Oh, shit. Well, that's a very sad, poignant.
Yeah, you know, it's like
that.
Like this is the last little bit of our child that we have, and we have to let go. You
and
know?
They don't want to give the shoes just to anybody, but they're not selling.
But they
aren't
trying to sell them though. Because that's what's great
but
about
that. But
they're
not planning on actually, because it doesn't say the price. It doesn't say for sale, baby shoes never worn, you know, $20 OBO.
I always thought that
the sale, the price, the price is actually your
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, they set the reserve. Oh my God.
If your baby, if the shoes fit your baby, they're going to take your
like
baby.
Fucked up Cinderella.
It's like a twisted horror.
Like fucked up Cinderella.
Yeah, it's like,
oh,
a,
like
it's like
that.
A twisted, like Hansel and Gretel witch who like they this family who never overcame the grief of losing their kid, and now they kidnap other people's kids.
Yes.
It's a very dark story.
Yes. Ooh. That's the movie.
Okay.
It's like a Raising Arizona.
But
Erasing Arizona.
No, but that's really, it's really creepy. But it's like, yes, you would do, okay, so yes, you have this, you have the couple that lost the kid.
This feels
right?
Like this is set in like 1820 London, right? It's like a very like industrial, sad, everybody's poor and people just disappear all the time.
Yeah,
and nobody cares.
Maybe there's like a detective that's trying to solve the case or something like that.
Some sort of gumshoe.
So you would do this, right? Some sort of right proper gumshoe.
Oi, chaps, these babies are being taken.
So
they call
them
the baby shoe killer.
The baby, so these, is a rash of baby disappearances.
Yes.
Right? And you would do, they all, there's like this ad, they all trace back to this ad, this like the that we went to go sell our, we went to go buy shoes for our baby, right? And then like, because we saw this ad in the paper for baby shoes, and they're like, holy shit, it's this like, they're using that to case the baby, right? Because it's like.
We got case this joint.
And then because it's, and then the, because this is, this is so good. Because you do, the people, they have to recreate the trauma. Mm-hmm. So like they take care of the baby for a couple of weeks, right? And then the baby dies. Every time they kill the baby, right? And then
they're
just caught in this loop or whatever,
this
right?
This is the most fucked up movie. But this is like, it's essentially Sweeney Todd, but instead of meat pies, it's shoes. So these people they sell baby shoes, but the baby shoes are actually made of babies.
What? They're not made of babies. All right.
That's why.
Damn,
why are they
Matt,
killing
you
the
went
baby?
Dark.
No, because it's their.
Because they want to revisit the trauma.
Like a serial killer.
Yeah, they're angry that everybody else gets to enjoy their child.
Yeah,
so they want to take that
like,
away.
And they're against you relive the trauma. Like you relive this traumatic thing that happened to you.
They run a baby shoe store.
No.
How do they get the baby?
Just let me fucking finish. Okay,
I'm with Will. I'm with Will. No, I'm with Will.
But
what?
This is a couple that bought shoes for their baby.
Yes.
Their baby died, and it was one of their fault. Like, it was some really fucked up thing that happened to the baby, right? And they went crazy. And you would do that there. They had the shoes, and they couldn't figure out. They didn't want to let the shoes go, right?
Yes.
And then they went to sell the shoes, and then they met a couple with this adorable baby that looked
reminded
just like
them so
reminded
much.
Their, and then they said, no, you can't have the shoes. And then that night, they stole the baby. Right. And then this couple was like, crikey, our baby's gone missing. And then that baby died. But this has been happening and happening and happening. And now the detective finds out. And then the ticking clock is the newest couple whose baby just went missing.
Yeah.
Is
so
the detective's baby.
Yes. Well, no, I would do the detective doesn't want to have kids right now. He's married. His wife's thinking about leaving him, and he's like, I don't know about if I want kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts with like, see, this is exactly why you don't want kids. But again, he's scared as a father, right? It's like, he's like, this is why we don't have kids. The world's dangerous. There's this person that goes around killing babies. You really want to throw a baby into this world? But yeah, essentially.
Or, I mean, the detective should definitely have a baby. and then the baby gets kidnapped at one point, right? Like, we should turn that juice up.
And that's true. Okay, maybe he's angry that he didn't want to have a kid and his wife's pregnant or something right when the baby's born. He's like, hello, detective, I heard you just
hello, detective.
What you do is the movie totally starts with, like, you know, with like a, you know, a guy who's like, he's like, oh, there's no more chimney sweeping jobs, what am I gonna do? They're like, our baby needs shoes. He's like, ugh, I can't afford
what's
any
this?
Shoes.
Free
and then,
shoes.
Wait a second. For sale of baby shoes, and we're not going to afford this. Hey, honey, let's go get these shoes.
They haven't listed the price. I'm sure we can afford it.
And they go into a dark back alley, and it looks just like, you know, the Strangler. It's like an old, yeah, it's all scary and stuff, like Jack the Ripper. And then, yeah, baby gets taken.
Okay.
Yeah. 5:30.
And then it's essentially seven. And then he's like, what's in that shoe box? What's in that shoe box? It's his baby's head. Everything's just brilliant because it's dark and Seven sucks. It's not a good movie, everybody. And then that's the end of the movie.
Wow,
yeah.
Man, you get a hot take in there too, huh?
It's smart because it's the seventh sin and you never thought he was going to, how was he going to pull off the seventh one? Surprise, you're angry because I killed your wife. Doesn't that make you think if you're angry because I killed your wife? Ooh, you couldn't stop being angry after I killed your wife? Whoa, such a sin. Fuck that movie. Anyways.
Okay. All right.
Dumb ending.
So you've got, okay, so they're on the trail, right? Yeah. So yes. Yeah, so then you have the detective, you have the couple whose baby's gone missing, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it's always like, gotta find the baby, right?
Yeah.
And so then, what is the story of the couple? Because that's the mystery he's kind of uncorking, right? And do you do, like, there's like a oh shit twist where it's like, it's the nanny or it's the governess is like the, you know, the baby.
Real one, and yeah, the real killer, the killer.
And then maybe
babies.
You do a nice, like, grimy, gritty thing where, like, you know, Scotland Yard didn't give a shit until it was like a
royal baby.
A lord's baby.
It
got
was
stolen.
The royal baby that got stolen,
you know what I mean?
This time.
Mm-hmm. Like the, or something like that. I don't know. What's the movie about? Like, what's the... So he goes and then... Yeah, it's just a... Right now, it's just a bummer.
All those
right?
serial killer movies are all the same to me. So, I mean, my first thought was like, if it was a serial killer movie like that, it'd be like, oh, it's actually him and his wife are suffering over grieving their child. And then you realize, like, it's actually the wife doing it. Because he was a shitty dad after it happened and, like, didn't... You know, he hasn't dealt with the grief and she was trying to grieve with him. And you hear, like, stories after, like, parents lose their kids, like, divorces happen because they just don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like, he went full into his job. And this is, like, her cry for help, essentially. The only thing he pays attention to is the job.
Oh, that's
and, yeah.
dark.
And this woman just wants to fucking be with her husband and mourn the loss of their child, but he's ignoring it, and she has nothing to cope with. So then, yeah, she starts... Yep.
That's a dark movie.
That's my pitch for the horrible.
No, I mean, I guess I get
killer.
It. Yeah, and then you do. He's like, oh my god, because he thinks it's this old couple, right?
Yeah.
Like he thinks he's found. Yeah, it's the classic thing. He thinks he's found like the person, right?
Yes.
And then he tries to nail them, and he realizes they've been framed or set up, and then this whole time it was, you know, his own wife.
And then she's like, you don't think the blood's on your hands too? Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
essentially, I'm the reason. Like, you, if maybe if you dealt with this, like, I wouldn't have
well,
to do this.
He's the one who killed the baby the
oh,
first
she
time.
Blamed.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
his
he's
neglect.
The one who fucked up.
His neglect.
Yeah. And then, yeah. And then, so the end is he become her partner in crime?
I think
it's like a dark resolution of
yeah,
the
their marriage
dynamic.
Is saved. Their marriage is saved, but by just tearing apart other people because these two people just never fucking can get over it.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's a fucking dark ass movie. All right. Well, that movie comes out and is directed by David Fincher and everybody will love it. So it's fucking good.
It's really dark.
It's me, baby. right.
Well,
fuck
jeez,
hell.
Bummer City.
Wow.
You know what? Generate a random number. Get us out of this bummer mood from for
hopefully
sale baby shoes.
Hopefully
never
we do another
worn.
Call of Duty.
63.
Please be a fucking fun what? Shrek 5.
Okay, where do we leave off? Where do we leave off with Shrek?
What was the last Shrek?
Where do we leave off with Shrek?
Shrek 4. What happened?
I do
what
not
happened
know. In Shrek 4? I'm pulling
Shrek
up Wikipedia 4. Really quick. We're going to take a look at Shrek
okay,
4.
Okay, Shrek 4 was Forever After. Oh, man. It's also called The Final Chapter. Psych. Oh, no. It was originally promoted as The Final Chapter. And then they're like, nah. That's not
Shrek
put a pin in
4.
It.
Shrek 4. Oh, why? Shrek Forever
Dude,
After.
That came out 2010. It's been 8 years since a Shrek.
The plot follows Shrek struggling as a family man with no privacy, who yearns for the days when he was once feared. Fucked up, man. He is tricked by Rumpelstiltskin into signing a contract that leads to disastrous consequences. It feels like this just them, like, throw some fairy tale shit at it.
Yeah,
oh, they reboot. Didn't they reboot it? Like, it
yeah.
was like,
The ending, this is the last sentence of Wikipedia for this. It's, as the sun rises, Shrek begins to fade from existence, but Fiona, having fallen in love with him, kisses Shrek, so they like reverse the kissing the princess, kisses Shrek before he disappears, restoring Shrek to the world just before he lashed out at the party. Shrek embraces his family and friends with a newfound appreciation for everything he has.
So it was like it was a big circular whatever.
Yeah,
right? It was like he's unhappy with being the king and he wants to be a real ogre again.
Yeah,
and when he takes the family to far, far away to celebrate his child's first birthday, a series of mishaps injures ego, causing him to lose his temper and walk out in anger. He encounters Rumpelstiltskin, and then he says he gives Shrek a day to live like a real ogre in exchange for a day from his childhood that he would not remember being erased to thank him. And then it's like I'm sure that's part of the consequence or whatever. So basically, he winds up in an alternate reality where like he didn't marry Fiona, and he's just a big mean.
I feel like it's
I'm starting the clock.
I feel like it's about time that Shrek gets to have some ogre fun.
I thought you were gonna say that Shrek died.
No,
it's about time that Shrek
like it's about time. If he's gonna be a king, I feel like it's time for some fucking Game of Thrones shit. Where like I feel like Shrek's kingdom. Should
what if there's
be
another? What if there's another Shrek?
From yeah.
What if there's
from, like,
another
from
Shrek?
Angry ogres.
His brother.
His brother
Shrek 2.
Shrek. His brother, the movie Shrek 2, is coming.
No, his brother. And he's like, the brother's like, oh, I've got a right to that throne.
Yes, yes. He doesn't know he has a brother. His brother comes to take the throne. He's the rightful heir from the
Shrek 2.
Shrek 2. So now he's got to fend off his brother, who's come with an army of, Shreks.
And fucking Benedict Cumberbatch voices him. And he's like,
yeah, I guess
shit.
Made. Wait.
It's fucking
has Benedict Cumberbatch
has
been in?
Check real quick.
There's no way he hasn't been
has Benedict
Shrek,
Cumberbatch
right?
been in a Shrek movie? Let's just go ahead and Google.
No, I guess
hey, Siri.
Has Benedict Cumberbatch?
Hey, Siri?
No.
All right, baby.
Those
he's available.
People, I guess he is the number one wanted for Shrek live action.
Yo!
As who?
Not Shrek. Like,
as Farquaad or whatever?
As Donkey.
All right. People know what Shrek is, right? He's
Shrek
an ogre.
2.
The second
Shrek comes, it's the older brother. And it's like, oh my God, I've heard an older brother this whole time. And then it's like, man, he's the rightful heir to the throne.
Yeah. Or Shrek had a wild lifestyle before he met Fiona, and he has a kid, and he's going to be, but then his son comes, like, I'm the rightful heir to that
it's
throne.
It's me, Shrock!
I named you Shrock? Yeah, you didn't really give a shit about me, Dad.
As evidenced by my name, Shrock. It's me, Shrock. I'm going to kill you, Dad, so I can become king. All right. Okay, all right, we got a zero. How much time do we have?
Oh, we got 8 whole minutes to fucking
what was
just
the twist?
Lavish
I'm
ourselves.
I'm trying to think of a fairy
one.
Tale that you could do that you can like kind of latch this on
yeah,
to.
It needs to be, yeah, because Rumpelstiltskin's like kind of the, yeah, you need like the thing. Shrek is stuck in an island and he has to grow his hair out.
I mean,
out
I like that
long.
Shrek and Fiona's kingdom's under siege by...
It's like a war movie?
Well, yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
So he's the king now, right? He's King Shrek.
And Queen
he learned
Fiona.
To appreciate. Yes. I see
well, does
mean.
He have a kid? Does he have a kid?
You're breaking my balls here, Freddy. Yes, he has a kid. He had a kid, was born in the last one, or it's his kid's first birthday in the last one.
Okay,
His children's first birthday. So maybe he's got twins or like there's little baby Shreks or something. I don't know exactly how it works.
It's very like pro, like a lot of movies I've begun to realize made in America. It's very pro monarchy and kingdoms. I wonder if you can do something where it's like, okay, so they've been king and queen for a while, and then it's like the, you know, the royal advisor's like, all right, so your son's been born, he's 3 years old now. Now we toss him to the volcano as is tradition in this kingdom. He's like, what? And then never mind. It's like, what's the world? What is the cost of being king?
Yeah. Well, now to be fair, there's a lot of fairy tales about like a royal couple and their, you know, their son or daughter or whatever, right? Like there's a lot of the Grimm's fairy tales kind of revolve around that setting.
Why don't we kind of take inspiration from everybody's favorite Indiana Jones, the fourth one? And this is actually like young Shrek named Mud comes and is going to take Shrek's place.
I don't feel like you guys are taking this seriously.
I was taking it seriously with the kingdom thing, but then you made a scrowly face and I don't know where else. I was taking it for the natural conclusion, which is he's reset his kingdom and he's found happiness. So something should invade or something should challenge his kingdom.
Okay.
And it being something that is personal is going to make it not just like a horde of barbarians coming.
Hence his brother.
Yeah. I just am like, these movies aren't like, no one gets stabbed in these
movies.
No,
because it's not, it's going to be goofy. Yeah. It's going to be like if Scar was like the jerk and was like a drunk uncle who's like screwing everything up for like, you know, your son's wedding or something. It's like his cut 18 years earlier, his son's going to get married and he's going to take over the kingdom. Right? His son found his beautiful wife too. They're going to get married. Shrek and Fiona are going to retire and go back to the swamp. or whatever, and he's gonna get the kingdom. And then King Uncle shows up. He's like, oh, I don't think so. If you're retiring, I take the throne. Your son's not gonna have the throne. He's like, what? That's not how it works. And then everybody loves him because he's a party animal. He's a good time. And you do something where, like, the son's got to learn what it means to be a king in order to, you know, he's gonna have to become a good father and teach his son what it means to be king in order to make him stand up against his uncle.
Okay,
or some
it's still
like that.
Okay. All right. So this uncle shows up. Uncle Shrek 2.
Uncle Benedict Cumber Shrek.
Benedict Cumber Shrek shows up. And maybe Benedict Cumber Shrek is like, what's his deal? Because Shrek is like fun loving and ogre-y, right? So I don't, yeah. Like, he's already like the wacky drunk uncle,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
So maybe
he's
Benedict,
a suave totalitarian.
Maybe Benedict Cumber Shrek is like, I'm gonna, you know, like.
He makes the plays fucking flow. Like, maybe he is good at his king job or something.
So
used car salesman sort of vibe. I don't know.
So what does Shrek want? Shrek wants to retire, we're saying? He's ready to give up the throne.
Yes.
To his kid.
Yeah.
And or his kids. Yeah. Okay, so and then someone else is like, not so fast, right? So, yeah. Like, this was the plan. So what was being expressed in that plan? He's like, I'm done with this, right? Like, I'm ready to live my life in the swamp again. And why does he need, like, what is wrong with the uncle that he won't just give him the throne?
He's being controlled by evil forces, and Shrek finds out.
Maybe it's, what's the story? I'm trying to remember.
Five. No one wants to see a courtroom palace intrigue movie with Shrek. That's
no,
what I'm trying to get
not.
At.
Of course
like
not.
The,
but it, I would do, is essentially, it's just Shrek. Okay, the fairy tale we're going to copy is The Lion King. What is this? Shrek. The uncle comes back, he kills Shrek, and then blames Shrek Jr. for it. And Shrek Jr. runs away and meets a bunch of fun, lovable fairy tale creatures. And then Uncle Benedict Cumber Shrek is running the kingdom.
I got an idea for you. Is that you do. Shrek is like ready to quit being, or what you do. Shrek and his son, or Shrek and his daughter, mm-hmm. have this conflict, right? Like, and he wants her to be the new queen, and she wants to, you know, like, she doesn't want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Or like, she's just not ready for it, whatever, right? So they're at each other's throats. You would do that. This wizard, Benedict Cumber Shrek, shows up, right? Masquerading. He's an illusionist who masquerades mm-hmm. As like an Emperor's New Groove. Mm-hmm. So you do, he masquerades as a Shrek's brother, right? It's mm-hmm. like a Buffy type thing where he's able to cast his spell on people. I'm like, holy shit, I have a brother, right? But then you do, he casts a spell on Shrek to make it see that Shrek turns into a little baby or something mm-hmm. like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then, or like, he, you know, turns Shrek into like into donkey or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you would do.
They got triplets, by the way.
Triplets, right?
According
perfect, right? Mm-hmm. So then you would do that. Shrek can only be seen by his kids mm-hmm. and he has to help them take the kingdom back, right? Because mm-hmm. like the uncle, you know, takes over the kingdom and banishes the family or whatever. I don't know what you do. And then it's Shrek bonding with his kids. Because again, his kids were babies in the first one.
Yeah,
he
yeah,
didn't have
yeah.
a movie about him and his kids. You could also do Shrek is too busy. Shrek and Fiona are so busy being king and queen, they're not spending enough time
or,
with their kids.
I was going to say, or you do, if you're going to do that, there's like, you could also do like Father the Bride-esque in terms of like afraid to let your kid go, like leave the nest. Like Fiona's already to retire. And he, I was thinking, could you do a thing where, I don't know how this works because it's like, how about once you... When you're an ogre, once you get a certain age, you get your little ogre horn things or whatever they are.
Oh, so
and that's when you're in adulthood.
Yeah.
And then when his son becomes an adult or the daughter becomes an adult, she takes the kingdom. And he talks to Benedict Cumber Shrek and puts a spell that they'll never grow their little horns. So he's like, oh, I don't know why you haven't grown your horns yet. It looks like you just still can't take over the kingdom. Like, he doesn't want his kids to grow up. He literally casts a spell to keep his kids from growing up.
So it's about being a dad.
Yes.
Okay,
yes. And then you would do the one of the kids who wants to take over the kingdom, realizes he's cursed and goes on adventure to solve this, not realizing that's his dad who did it. And then it would like turn into Benedict Cumber Shrek actually is the one who's trying to take over the kingdom. And, you know, it'd be Shrek went to the wrong person to do the spell, and then, anyways, I don't know. Benedict Cumber Shrek is this evil wizard, kind of like Emperor's New Groove, right? Emperor's New Groove, the witch is the one who causes the person.
Yeah, I just.
The kid goes on a journey and finds that and realizes
that. Is the kid the main character or Shrek the main character? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like it's a movie. No one wants to see Son of Shrek, the kid that isn't voiced by Mike Myers that we don't give a shit about.
That's fair.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you do this, he wishes he wants one more year with his babies before they grow up.
Yes.
Right? But then the cost of the wish is that he turns into a fucking donkey or whatever.
Yeah.
And then this other guy takes care of the kingdom. He gets mm-hmm. the kingdom, right? And so now he's with his kids and he has to get the kingdom back.
Yes.
And they go on an adventure as a family together, right?
Yes.
He and Fiona get turned into teens. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's a good movie, Will. Yeah. You get Shrek and Girl Shrek out of Fiona. You get them to turn into teens, and then the teenagers are like, oh, man, my teen parents. It's Shrek teen parents.
Yeah, so they become their kids' age, right? Yes. And they all get banished as rascally children or whatever. So it's them and their kids, and they learn about how it's tough being a teen. It's kind of like a Freaky Friday type thing. They meet up with Teen Donkey and Teen Gingerbread Man.
And Teenona.
It's like, and Teenona.
That's very good.
And then, okay, so yes, and then you do that. He learns about his kids. And he learns that he has to let them grow up, right? Yes. And then you would do that.
Benedict Cumberbatch Shrek is ruining the kingdom, being all evil.
Yeah, he's always making it better than ever. And they're just like, oh,
just
shit.
Like, this is not how it's
but
done.
Then so yes, I like that. And then I think you do that. So he learns to let his kids grow up. The end is this tender scene where he, you know, like, again, like, he's, again, it's his triplets, like, you know, 60 quinceanera, right? Yeah. Like his triplets ogre 16th birthday, right? And then, you know, he, you know, lets them take over the kingdom, and it's like this it's a real Toy Story tearjerker moment where you're like, oh man, Shrek's getting old, like, just like my parents are getting old, and then the kids take over the kingdom,
and then Shrek like gives him a real tearful, like, I'm so proud of you, like,
to make it a fairy
tale.
I wish I could have
spent more time watching you grow up. I'm so proud of what you've become. And then Donkey comes in and is like, hey, Shrek.
The classic fairy tale thing would be Benedict Cumberbatch Shrek has been around for a long time because his spells, the way his magic works, is he takes your future from you. So he's actually
time thief.
The kingdom loves him because they're all young and healthy, but what they don't realize is, like, all these people start dying at the age of 20 because he's sucking up all their energy. And that's how he lives forever.
Thief.
And then it's about you gotta let your kids grow up, and you can't ever go back. Well,
can't take their future from them.
Yeah, you can't take their future from
time
them.
Time thief.
Yes,
love
a time
it.
Thief. Benedict Cumberbatch Shrek is a time thief.
That's
in
time
teen
on Shrek.
Shrek.
And speaking of time. On Teen Shrek.
That's a pretty
Teen
good
Shrek
one.
Teen Shrek 4.
I think those were pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You got that really, five?
That's five. You got that dark baby movie.
That
you got,
baby movie.
Oh,
I don't
boy,
know.
Oh boy.
That was a good one. I think people like that one. You got two Call of Duties.
Essentially
space
two
Force.
Call of Duties. A space one.
What was the
and
first one? I don't remember. It
space
feels like a year
Force.
Ago.
Yeah.
Peter Payne.
Peter Payne. Again, well, that was like...
Story break. They can't all be winners.
I will say this sincerely. None of those deserved an entire episode. So I think this was the right idea.
This was the right idea. The story break detritus. We're going to take a quick break. And we come back, a little wrap up on the year.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, ILO.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised snow leopard.
True. Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1 or, weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That's the year, baby! 2018 in the bag. This is the first full year, 52 weeks, of Story Break that we've done.
You guys want to feel real old?
Yeah.
The first episode of
this year
was Why Did the Chicken Cross
Holy
the Road?
Holy shit.
I'm glad that we ended with an episode as strong as the episode we started with.
Man, we weren't even in the same, like, we were in a different office space. This has been a long year
it's
for us.
It's been a long one, guys.
Yep. Wow.
Well, hey, thanks to everyone.
Every single person listening.
We
there.
Are so, we, this has been such a wonderful journey doing this podcast this year, and it's been really great to get to know some of the fans and to really get, just thanks to everyone who submitted fan art this year, everyone who's listened to the show, everyone who's been writing those reviews on iTunes. Like, you guys bring so much joy to us. Like, it really helps us feel like we're not just shouting into the abyss every week.
Yeah, to be fair, we are shouting into an abyss of sorts, but I will say this, and this was an interesting side effect. I do feel like our ability to, like, crack something, like, has gone up. Like, just from route practice on this, I do feel like when we talk about our sort of day-to-day normal lives and our regular jobs, it is crazy to be like, what I've noticed a lot is we've definitely referenced Story Break episodes in our normal process. Like, we'll be like, oh, it'll be like this or this or this. It's become, in a weird way, like our shorthand.
For better or worse, I stopped referencing really good movies when we work, and now I just reference our own dumb shit that we came up with. No, but sincerely, this is we love doing this and it's fun. I mean, I like doing this because I just like to crack stories with you guys and just have a good time and seeing. Honestly, I never expected that seeing people's joy listening to these episodes and people bring their own creativity and writing, you know, scenes and the fan art and just people discussing it has been a whole other scenes, joy I didn't
the
expect.
The people writing scenes really blows me away. And then the level and quality and also just like the breadth of fan art is astonishing because it's like there's a lot of weird stuff that we get through. You know what I mean? We get to some weird places and I'm glad that there's at least some folks out there who enjoy our insanely weird sense of humor and are able to illustrate it and bring it to life. Yeah, it's wild, man. I'm telling you. Mark my words, one of these days, something we say on here is going to be the seed of something that will show up.
That we will actually make.
And it will be thanks to all of you who have stuck around with us and supported us.
Just to clarify, not legally. None of
legally, you are not.
You
have no rights to any of this. However, thanks very much, everybody. We could not do it without you. Bottom of my heart.
Although no fan art shoutouts this week because we already did them all at the beginning of the week.
Yes, we just recorded an episode, so nothing.
So we will get back to you guys in the new year. Yeah. And until then, thank you to Maximum Fun and thank you to Cameron Covell. And until next year, Story Breakers, we
are
going
to
take
everything
until
we
can't
stop
the
enemies
of
the
Shrek
episode.
We're still going, huh? That
carry
us. All right, that was terrible.
That was terrible.
See you next year, everyone.
We're gonna end the year on a bad one.
Hey gang, this is Jesse, and I am joined by Bikram, the managing director of Maximum Fun.
Hi everyone.
So we have some really amazing news to close out 2018. After this spring's pledge drive, we gave members the chance to buy enamel pins with the full profits of those sales going to the National Immigration Law Center.
This is a tough time to be an immigrant in the United States. As individuals, as a company, and as a community, we wanted to help provide resources for immigrants in the face of these attacks.
We're proud to live in a nation of immigrants, and many of us here at Max Fun are immigrants or the children of immigrants ourselves.
Together, we raised over $100,000.
NILC will put that money to good use, providing legal representation to immigrants and their families who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford it.
We are so proud of our community for making such an immense difference in so many lives.
And whether you bought pins or not, you can help the NILC advocate for immigrants right now. All you have to do is go to MaximumFund.org/NILC. That's MaximumFund.org/NILC.
Our thanks go to all of you who made this possible.
Great work, everybody. And happy holidays from all of us at Max Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.